Bible Eagles.
For you and for me, gave the dearest treasure to his heart. Our Master, our Savior. Ah, friends, what a gift that was, and how greatly we appreciate it, especially when we come to a convention like this and hear an exposition of God's arrangement as we heard this morning. Think how God's constant care is over us, friends. It is because God loves us. Yes, the Father himself loveth you, Jesus said, and this love is manifest. Yes, friends, it's manifest to us. We understand it. And we find, friends, that the eagle flies very, very high in a pure atmosphere. When I was in that plane above the clouds, 40 minutes passed away, holding our breath, waiting to land. Friends, the people up there, the 45 that were there, I believe all but myself and the pilot, seemed to be fearful. I have constantly put my trust in the Lord. The moon was shining brightly, and it was so peaceful and so quiet up there. And that plane was just hovering around like a big bird, that's all, just going around in a large circle above the city of St. John, waiting to see if there was a place where it could land. But oh, how dark it was below. Terrible thunderstorm. And we above it all. So peaceful. I was willing to stay up there. I didn't care whether I came down or not. That's the way I felt about it, friend. And so the eagle always flies above all of the clouds of trouble. Way above, high, and the Lord desires that we, too, brethren, that we fly high. Yes, I had an experience, too, along that line when I was in the West. I talked to a brother one day, and he said, you know, there's many eagles around here, and there were the brown eagles, Montana. And, you know, I thought perhaps that he could shoot one, but it was impossible to shoot them. They were too wise, and they had such keen vision. He couldn't get near enough to shoot one, and they were up in the rocks in the mountains. And he said, you know, the other day I was lying in the hayfield, and I saw a little speck. I was resting at noon hour, a little speck, like a large bee hovering around. And he says it became a little larger and a little larger and a little larger. And lo and behold, he said, there a great large eagle right near me picked a little snake out of the field. See how keen of vision they are, how far-sighted. That little speck could see that little small snake in the grass. And, of course, it tore the snake to pieces and devoured it. Yes, friends, we know that the eagle in the Bible is used to symbolize many things in respect to God's plans and purposes and his people. I'm thankful to know that the eagle flies high. In Isaiah 40:31, we have this statement, but they that wait, wait, oh, how hard it is to wait. Found perhaps more than any other word in the Bible, wait, wait. And you know, it's so hard. It takes so much patience. And especially now, friends, it's 1950. Think of it. Sister Rano shakes her head. Yes, we're still waiting. Wait, wait ye upon the Lord. Ah, yes. But they that do wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall live, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. When we wait upon the Lord, friends, the Lord strengthens us. He gives us courage, just like the eagle. And we'll mount up with wings as eagles. Come back in the Spirit of the Lord. Come back, friends, with faith, with courage, with strength. We'll just wait. When the trials and the experience become very severe, let us always remember, wait, and we'll soon mount up with wings as the eagles. They can run, of course. It's the class that are running. Running for the prize of the high calling of God, which is Christ in Christ Jesus. And they shall not be weary. Let us never become weary in well-doing, brethren. No, let us wait upon the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and not weary in well-doing. And they shall walk, yes, will not sit down. You remember, friends, in your tabernacle study, we studied that holy and that most holy. But when we came to the holy, you remember, there we enjoyed the light of the candlesticks and enjoyed the things that were in the holy. We looked around and we never found a chair in that place. There was no chance to sit down. You can't sit down in the holy, but you must move. Walk. Keep on walking. Is that right? I'm sure you'll say, brother, that's right. And they shall walk and not faint. No, if we keep on keeping on, my dearly beloved, we shall not faint. So it is with the body members of Christ. They too must fly high, rise above the things and the cares of this life. But St. Paul tells us some mind earthly things. And that isn't too good. It's human mindedness. The Lord desires us to be spiritually minded, to set our affections on things above. And see what he said about those that mind earthly things. But devoured in time seems with the cares of this life. Finally, he said, Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. That means, friends, of course, instead of living in the Spirit, they're minding the things of the flesh. But the Lord don't want us to do that. No, and he said, whose mind are earthly things. He wants us to mind heavenly things, spiritual things. Colossians 3:1-2, if ye then be risen with Christ, then there's a seeking to be done. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Seek. Not the language of merely trying, but seek after it. And then set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That's the admonition from St. Paul. Therefore we mind higher things. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his God says righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And hasn't that been our experience all the days of our consecration? If we constantly seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto us. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, Jesus said. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Right? And we find, and the naturalist tells us too, that the eagle builds its nest in high places. And how true that is. In the tops of the rocks of the mountains. Job tells us something about that in Job 27:19. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? It's a question. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, the crag of the rock, and in the strong places. And so the Lord's people should do the same. For then she seeth her prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Yes, that eagle can behold afar off, and if a serpent or a snake is crawling up to its nest, in just a moment, that eagle would be there to tear that snake to pieces. Friends, in Job 5:11, you have a good thought. To set up on high those that be low. We were all low. We were down there in darkness at one time. And the Lord set us on high. And those which mourn may be exalted to safety. We were mourners. Of course we were. And there's still many mourners in the earth and many mourners in Zion. And we should bind up the brokenhearted and preach good tidings of good to the meek. Psalm 69:29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Oh, we were so poor, weren't we? Poor in spirit. Isn't that right? And the Lord set us upon a rock. We build upon that rock. And then we became rich. But how poor we were. Poor in spirit, of course. That's right. Therefore will I deliver him, because he hath set his love upon me. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Psalm 91:4. In Palestine, there are many rocks. And, friends, it's part of the strength of that country. For in times of danger, even the Israelites would hide themselves in the rocks. And they would be sheltered in the rocks for the Israelites from the enemy. The name rock is not merely given to the Lord Jesus, friends, but God is our rock also. We have two rocks in a way, in a sense. To my surprise, in looking up the subject of eagles, Psalms 18:2, second verse and the 31st verse. The Lord is my rock and ear. He's the rock of ages. How thankful we are and continue to sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Now, brethren, if you denied the plan of the ages, you could no longer sing Rock of Ages, could you? Many people that we walked with and talked with and took sweet counsel together with in the house of God, that one time believed in the plan of the ages, and today they threw it out and say, God has no plan. So the Rock of Ages means nothing to them. But he is our rock. How thankful we are. And he's my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn, the power of my salvation, and my high tower. Who is that? The Lord. Now listen to the 31st verse. As were I was surprised. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is rock save our God? God is also our rock, friends, our grand. And we build upon this rock. We build upon the rock of ages and the rock our Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:1-4, the rock from which the children of Israel were supplied with water is a figure or a type of Christ. Let me read it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. You know, it's strange that way down here, almost the time for the last overturning of the Jewish house, Jacob's trouble, which would take place in Armageddon, the last part of Armageddon, way down here, that so many of the Lord's people should become ignorant in respect to many of the true teachings of the truth in the Bible. Let us not be ignorant in respect to these friends and these things. I would not that ye should be ignorant, brethren. How that all our fathers under the cloud and all passed through the sea, all were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. How sweet this is. And all did drink of the same drink. What was that drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed Christ Jesus. Followed them, and what was that rock? That rock was Christ. You and I are drinking of that rock today, aren't we? How sweet it is to come together, friends, and continue to drink the refreshing, invigorating truths given to us in the Bible. Deuteronomy 32:18. He made him ride on the high places of earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock. Friends, we're constantly receiving these sweet things as honey from the rock of Christ. By the oil, perhaps. Honey and oil from the rock. Good, isn't it? Yes, it's good. And the children of Israel, when they build an altar, they build it high. And there they would offer their sacrifices up high on the rock. And so the Lord desires us to do the same. So we offer our sacrifices of joy. Where? In the high places. This is one of the high places. We come together at a convention way above, friends, the world. We're high, aren't we? We love to be above the troubles of the earth. High, high. Leave it all behind. That's the way I did when I worked for other men. The moment I was out of that front door, wherever it was, I'd leave everything behind, forget all about it, until I had to go in there again the next morning. Let us all do that, friends. And live as high as we possibly can, above the cares of this life and above the world. There's one remarkable feature of the eagle, friends. The naturalist tells us that the eagle, the Bible eagle, can behold the sun with open eyes at any time, even at noon. Think of that. Could we do that? Not literally we can't, friend, but the eagle can. Now, you see, there's a lesson there for us, isn't there? That eagle, Bible eagle, will behold the sun in its brightness. Look right at the sun. Naturalists watch the eagles time and time again, and they tell us that that's true, and I have no reason to disbelieve it. You see, the Lord is symbolizing something here for us, my dear beloved. And what is it? Well, the Lord tells us, I believe, the sun is frequently referred to in the scriptures as a noble similitude used with reference to it. Look, for instance, in Psalm 72:5-7, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure. Throughout all generations, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued so long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Who? The Son of Righteousness. Jesus Christ is called the Son of Righteousness. Why is he called the Son of Righteousness? Because he enlightens, he quickens, he comforts his people. That's our Master, our Lord. And friend, we as Bible eagles, we're gathered together where the body, the food is. And we too, with open eyes, can behold the sun of righteousness at any time. Morning, noon, and night. Any time that comes to the Lord and behold him with open eyes in the Spirit, just like the sun. Friends, the Lord's people can be likewise. And where the body is, yes. What is this body? It's spiritual food, friends. And there the eagles will be around that spiritual food, the body, put forth to feast. And the eagles are sighted as keen visions. You know, there's some of our brethren way over England, and one brother in India, Brother Gilbert, I read many of his letters. He's got now, he's focused his eye on Bowling Green. My, that's a long way. Some of our brethren, Newfoundland, have their eyes too focused on Bowling Green. And all the way down from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, North, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and all the way down here, I find brethren who keen vision are on the food they expect to get at Bowling Green. For where the eagles are gathered, there's where the food will be, and where the food is, the body is, there's where the eagles shall be gathered together. I do not think Brother Rock made a mistake when he used the eagles in a symbolic way. And I do not think our pastor did, or did the Lord Jesus, friends, because it's so fitting, it's so grand. Malachi 4:2 we read, but unto you that fear, reverence my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The Son of Righteousness again mentioned to us, my dearly beloved. So we too can behold the Son of Righteousness with open eyes, and how glorious he is to us. He becomes more glorious constantly. Let us often try to come in the Spirit as often as possible and gaze and look at the Son of Righteousness in his glory. Friends, I believe it'd be pleasing to him, don't you? Psalms 25:15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. It should be with all the Bible eagles. All the Bible eagles, our eyes are always toward the Lord. For he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The Lord did that. And so, dearly beloved, if we have the real characteristics of the Bible eagle, we will always, with keen vision, only associate ourselves and with the class called the Bible eagles. Those who discern the spiritual thing, those are the eagles the Lord's talking about. They discern the spiritual food, and that's the class we desire to associate with. Jesus said he would gird himself and serve them. What does this mean? It means he's present. He has girded himself and he's serving us. He put the food on the table. Now, friends, if you took some food off from that table, and you'd use that food for something else, or try to make a sandwich out of that food, why, what that means would be an insult to the host. Who's the host? God, our Heavenly Father. He's made all the provisions. Matthew 22, a certain king made a marriage for his son. And then he called all those that were bidden to the wedding. You remember the coming finally you and I were brought into the banqueting hall. Who's the host?
God, Jehovah.
And the king came in. Positive proof that Christ is present, the king came in. What for? Inspection. Oh, something taking place in that banqueting hall. Are we satisfied with the food that the Lord put on the table? Bless your heart, yes. If we become dissatisfied, we'll get up and give up our seat. And perhaps take some food off the table and make something of our own. But we'll never stay in that banqueting hall very long. We'll lose the truth, brethren. No, my dearly beloved, this food satisfies our longings as nothing else can do. Oh, how many have tried to run ahead of the Lord. And friends, results were and shall be to lose the truth. Become displeasing to the Lord. And finally, the Lord will say, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on the wedding garment? They go so far that they finally take off their wedding garment. And then it says that that class were speechless. Speechless in regard to the ransom and restitution and the sin offering and the special truths that the Lord is preparing for us. They become speechless. Then finally the Lord will have to command and say, cast them out. Can't you see, friends, that the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the parable of the marriage feast, is taking place right before our very eyes? The Lord has girded himself and he's serving us. Yes, friends, and this spiritual food that you and I are feasting upon is for the inner man, that we may grow thereby, that we may be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we're very careful what kind of food we eat. Let us be careful. Don't eat everything that comes along. It's very dangerous even to read everything that comes along. Do you know that? Many do not believe that, but friends, in all my experience in my ministry from coast to coast, I found some that were careless about reading everything that comes along. First thing you know, they have confusing ideas and they don't come to meetings anymore. The Lord has placed the food on the table. It satisfies. Satisfies me, friends. Let us be satisfied with the food the Lord gives us, my dearly beloved. No, we dare not eat food that died of itself. The eagle wouldn't eat it. Some of that food's going around is food that died of itself. It's not fit to eat, friend. Don't appropriate it unto yourself. Let us be a real Bible eagle. Friends, Satan is a wily foe. And do you know this great enmity between the eagle and the serpent? Great enmity, friends. The moment that eagle sees one of them serpents, goodbye serpent, if it get a hold of it, tears it to pieces. And you see how subtle the serpent is. When the eagle leaves the nest, then it'll come out, the crane, and then creep up to the nest and try to steal the eggs and get the young. But that keen vision, that eagle. Oh, what enmity there is between the true eagle class and the serpent, the devil. There is the lesson, the chief lesson, my dearly beloved. What a lesson we're getting from the eagle. Oh, with keen vision, friends, let us watch unto prayer. Let us not be deceived. That serpent, the adversary, the devil, is a wily foe. We're not ignorant of his devices. Oh, how many brethren in my day have been deceived. And today they walk no more with us. They run ahead of the Lord. And the results are, friends, that God's loving kindness and His truth is not over them anymore. Psalms 40:11. Yes, there's great enmity between the eagle and the dragon or serpent. There's a deadly enmity between the church too and the serpent, the adversary. How careful we should be, friends, and watch and prepare. Revelation. The first scripture I'll give you first is James 4:7. Submit. Oh, how hard it is at times to submit ourselves